Our guest today is much more than Italy's most successful ski racer. She's a double overall World Cup champion, Olympic medalist, world champion, and someone who simply never stops moving. And they call her the Snow Tiger, Tigra della Neve. You've got it, Federica Brignone.
Federica Brignone, a magical gold medal for the Italian superstar, and she has won it in style.
Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Alpine Pulse Unplugged, where we go behind the scenes of the World Cup and discover the untold stories of our champions. The first official FIS podcast dedicated to the Audi FIS Ski World Cup. My name is Nick Fellows, and today I'm joined by Federica Brignone, a woman who has rewritten Italian skiing history.
I was taking bread from the restaurant and doing pane Nutella. That was the only thing I could eat. 1 year in Aspen for the finals, I was partying after the Super G, and 2 days later, I had the GS, or 3 days later, and I won again. So,
actually,
it works.
Yeah.
It works.
In this episode, we'll talk about her journey from the slopes of Valle d'Aosta to the very top of ski racing, how she has dealt with her toughest moments, and what really keeps her fire burning, both on and off the snow. And if you don't want to miss future episodes, make sure to subscribe to Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and all the major platforms. Federica, I'm so glad to have you here. Really, really glad to have you here.
Thank you.
I want to start right at the beginning. I want to talk about your first memories of skiing. If you read all the notes and the detail, it says on some of them you were skiing at 1.5 years of age. Tell us about your personal first memories of skis on. And was it fun back then?
Oh, yes, it was really fun. I think my memories don't get to 1.5 years. This I don't remember for sure. I know it from my parents and my family. I think my first memory of skiing was with the ski club of Courmayeur. I was skiing with them in freeride skiing. Actually, we were used to do it a lot with my ski club. And this is something that I still, sometimes I would like to go back. I was having so much fun. I had an amazing group, amazing friends back there. Thanks to them, thanks to my coaches and everybody was back there that I'm still here and I became who I am right now. I mean, that loves so much skiing, you know.
And was it as fantastic as it sounds? A young, carefree Federica Brignone with the mountains as your playground?
Well, my family moved to Aosta Valley when I was 6. And then I started skiing with the ski club. Before, I was just skiing sometimes with my parents, but not so much. I mean, I was really, well, skiing was just for fun and with family, for sure. But they said I loved it right away. So I was always smiling. I wanted to go faster always. I loved speed since I'm really, really a kid. And yeah, I think the ski club was just amazing because some of the friends I had back there, they are still with me right now. And I had an amazing group. This was for me really important to have friends to go with. But I was not just skiing when I was a kid. I was doing a lot of sports. Skiing was not to become a champion. It was just for fun.
And of course, skiing and ski racing, it's kind of in the family DNA. Did you know when you were a youngster that your mum was a World Cup star, Maria Rosa Quario, Nina, as they used to call her back in those days? Did you know your dad was also not only a ski racer, but a coach? Did it ever occur to you that you were almost born to greatness rather than finding it on the mountain?
No, well, my mother never said to us that she was a champion. I mean, we discovered, she said, I was racing, but she was never, I don't know, showing that to us, to me and my brother. And my father was just an amazing, and he is still an amazing teacher. He brought us to do any sports. So this was really, we were doing sports with family, it was not only skiing. Skiing was part of our life, but because we lived in the mountains for sure. But I was skiing always with the club, not with my family. I just had my dad 1 year as a coach, but with other coaches. And yeah, actually he was following more my brother. He wanted to ski with my family. I wouldn't. I wanted just to ski with my friends and the club. I wanted to be my way, not my family. I mean, they never had pressure on us. They said, do what you like. They brought us skiing. They brought us ice skating and athletics and climbing and golf, tennis, a lot of sports. So we were just having fun with the family and friends.
But of course, little did everybody know that that is the base to becoming a sporting superstar, as so many of the experts will tell us. When did the feelings start to change from fun with the girls at the ski club to hanging out in the mountains rather than at the coffee bar? When did you start to feel, I think I want to go ski racing rather than just doing a little bit of everything?
Well, I was already competitive. I mean, competition has always been my motivation. I can't say no to a challenge. This since I'm a little kid in everything. I always say yes. And then this is something that I really like. So competition. But in the same way, I was skiing just for fun, as I said. And when I entered the regional club, so I was 15, and accessing to the FIS competitions. Like, I understood that it was not only for fun. I mean, back with the club, I was with friends. But then there, I found myself with the new group, with the girls that they wanted to compete. And I started, thinking about competition and, like, really be there for skiing. But actually, I started being like an athlete when I finished school, so when I entered the World Cup, actually.
And of course, when people start monitoring stats, you became the Italian national champion, slalom, giant slalom, 2006. And then was there a moment that you started to think of the World Cup, think of international ski racing, think of taking this to another level, or were you happy for it just to keep going along with this lifestyle that sounds wonderfully idyllic and really happy?
I am really lucky. I've really enjoyed my life. And when I was a kid, I was a kid. When I was adolescent, I was an adolescent, and I was doing everything as an adolescent. And in the same way, I was somebody that I started thinking as to be an athlete. So I started behave as an athlete more and more. But for me, it was like, the question was, will I ever be at a World Cup ski race? And then I started doing World Cup. And then the question was, will I ever be like a top 30? I started being top 30. And actually it came right after my first podium. And it was always for me something new, something really nice. But for sure, I was already putting myself to be an athlete, to understand what I wanted to be. How could I ski faster? Mm-hmm. This was since I think I'm in a regional team, I was already thinking, how can I be faster?
And when you joined the World Cup in 2007, who were you looking up to then? Were you sort of, I want to ski like her, or I want to do what he does there? Or was it all this, what I like to call this free-flowing skiing style that captivates us all? Was that with you from the early days, or it's something that you've learned, felt, or followed from somebody else?
For me, I am a sensitive skier. I have to have this feeling. So I have to feel what I'm doing. I have to control everything when I'm skiing. And for sure, I was trying to not emulate anyone, but to try to pick something that I was liking about some athletes. My first World Cup, I had an amazing team. The Italian team was like a big, big team with Denise, Manuela, Chiara. The first weekend of World Cup. So Denise won, Nicole was third in GS, and Chiara won the next day in slalom. So for me, it was like a big, big emotion. And they were my idols for sure. I always liked Giulia Mancuso because she had this I don't know, way of life, to enjoy life, to ski, but also do other sports and have fun. I love the way Ted Ligety skied. I was loving ski racing. I was watching all the races already. I was really passionate. And so I was trying to make my way. But I never thought like I was able to do what you said before. I mean,
well, let's put it into perspective for you. 37 victories, 85 World Cup podiums. That's difficult to remember where those 85 podiums are. 5 discipline globes, 2 overall globes, 3 Olympic medals, 5 World Championship medals. When you hear those numbers, what do you think?
Who is that? No, I mean, it's something that really I never thought it was makeable. And when I started like going better, I just wanted to get better. And always my motivation, my fire was to try to make my best. So for me, competition is, I give my best. So I need to prepare like that and do physical training, do everything in my power to make it the best for me, for myself. Then if I'm first, I'm second, I'm third, it doesn't matter. I mean, the most important thing is that I make everything. And I think I just wanted to reach my limit, which is the best version of myself. This was always some big motivation for me.
But now, Federica, we want to switch gears and put you in the hot seat. It's time for one of the most unpredictable parts of our show. The name isn't so unpredictable. It's called Icy Slope. And today we've got a little surprise for you. It's a video message.
Okay.
From someone you know very well, a rival, but a very good friend. So I'm going to play you a little video from Ilka.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. And she's going to ask you a few questions.
Okay. I need to answer or?
Oh, I think you do need to answer. I think the listeners would love you to answer.
Ciao, Fedola. I have a few questions for you as well. So, let's begin. What was the best party or celebration that you had after a great result in a World Cup race? And did you have a race the next day after it as well, maybe? And let's say, what is the most unusual food that you tried?
I just remembered another one. Who's your most and who's your least favorite person on the World Cup? Come for me the answers.
If I ever party after like a race, and yes, I did.
I'm glad you said yes.
Yes, I did. I am a party girl. So actually, I think the best was in Sochi. That night of karaoke that Julia organized back in 2020. I think that was really, really fun. And Ilka was there, who were singing all together. This was really amazing.
Okay, so with Russia from, with love from Russia, yeah. Russia with love. But number two?
Number two, it was if I ever won after a party. I mean, but the next day, I normally don't party if the next day I have a race. Yeah. This is not for me. But 1 year in Aspen for the finals, I was partying after the Super G. And 2 days later, I had the GS, or 3 days later, and I won again. So,
so
actually,
okay.
It works.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. Even this year at the finals, I partied before the GS and I was still playing for the World Cup. So with the hat and everything, like a cowboy night.
I think I saw some of those cowboy pictures. They were very good.
Yeah.
Question 3 from Ilka was food.
When we are in Italy, we eat so
wonderful
so,
food.
Yes.
Okay, let's really flip the coin the other way very quickly. And if not such wonderful food on the World Cup tour.
I'm not picky, so I can eat everywhere, really. Yeah,
that's a perfect answer.
Yes, I'm really not picky, and I always find something that I like. So this is really nice, because during winter is not easy. If you start to not like this or that, it's not really easy to go around. But once, I have to say, we were in Polonia. We're doing still Europa Cup, and the food was really, we couldn't eat almost. So we were Actually, I was going to my room and I had some yogurt, some Nutella, and not else. I was taking bread from the restaurant and doing pane Nutella. That was the only thing I could eat.
So Italy doesn't win every time.
Yeah.
Which is good to hear. And the fourth question.
Yeah. So it's not easy to choose, actually.
It's Ilka's question, not mine.
Okay, now I have to say Ilka for, well, like the most, no, I'm just kidding. But the one I got really friend with all my career was Mitch Gagnon. So we spent a lot of time together, even not skiing. Like we went on vacation a lot of times and this was really like a good and amazing relationship during the years. So, yes. And with my team was Lisa Agerer. So we were still sometimes enjoying some time, some weekends with the girls. And yeah, we are really still going really good together as friends. And this is amazing too. I found a lot of great people around.
Is anybody you don't like?
I can't answer. I'm sorry.
No. I like it. I'm with you all the way there. I like everybody. I really do.
I like everybody.
Yeah, they're all taking some big risks.
They all have something like good.
Yes. Okay, let's put it out there again. You're the most successful Italian female alpine racer of all time. And you're actually only 13 behind Alberto Tomba, who's the most successful overall with 50 World Cup wins. Albert's a good pal of mine. I don't call him Alberto. I call him Albert because it's very English. And he told me he thinks you'll beat his record.
No.
He did. That's a true story. And I think he's right. Actually, he's very rarely wrong. But I think Alberto truly does believe that. Let's move on. Family roots. This is a great part of your story. We've already discussed mum. Four times a World Cup winner, beautiful skier in her day. Just like some of the things you're describing, very light, very in control, always feeling and flowing. Dad, a wonderful coach. And then your brother. And your brother Davide is still your coach today. That's been going for 8 years?
Yes.
Woof. I have a little personal question here. When you're sitting around the table having a nice lunch on Sunday, does Dad start arguing with Daniela, start talking to Davide, start talking to Maria, start talking? Or we say, okay, Sunday lunch, no ski talk whatsoever.
We don't really sit for lunch with my family, but we do sports together.
Okay, even better.
So, yeah, we don't really like to sit and eat, actually. That's not something that we ever did.
Okay.
We like to spend time together around. For example, I've been walking with my mom this weekend and my family, we talk about everything, like sports, like, I don't know, everything we can. But even if we talk about skiing, it's not like something that we don't like. It's something that we want to talk about. And it's we are really passionate of this sport and other sports. So, like those days, we would talk about athletics because it's the world championship. Yeah. So we would talk about that. For sure, in winter, we can also talk about skiing. I don't mind. It's not too much for me.
And does your mum ever give you a tip or your dad ever give Davide a tip?
I think my dad and my brother, they talk even during winter. My brother always asks my dad like something like, how do you see Fede and what do you think we can do to make it better? And they talk a lot. And my mom, she was never coaching me. She was a mom and she was giving me advice as to how to behave and how to answer to interviews and all of that. So yes, for my life, not as a coach, that's for sure. She never made any comments about skiing or about myself. She was just making comments about behave and how to behave and everything like that.
And for all of you listeners out there, Federica's mum, Maria, is a wonderful journalist and a very, very skilled journalist, somebody that I've enjoyed reading and working with for many, many years. Another relationship I'd like to talk about, because there's a nice connection here, Deborah Compagnoni. What are your thoughts on Deborah, fair to say, the last Italian superstar until Federica Brignone comes into play. And is she somebody that's close to you? Because there's some nice connections there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, we had, so we shared the same serviceman, Sbardi. He was with her before, and then he had some other athletes, and then he went with me in 2013. So it's been a long time with Mauro. And then we share also the manager. She was racing when I was really a kid. I have like less memories than the girls with who I was in World Cup the first years. I mean, Denise and Manuela and Chiara were closer to me because I could see them. I could stay with them. I could try to behave like they were behaving. So, and also Fanchini sisters. Those were really important for my career also. But Deborah was, something in the past. I don't know. I don't really remember even her races. I don't know. I can see her now, like now we share a lot now, sometimes for events or something like that. She's an amazing person and she loves the mountains and she still loves the nature and everything. So, but I couldn't take anything from Deborah because I couldn't remember.
She has 4 Olympic gold medals, Deborah Compagnoni. Many of you will know listening in right now, but you have more than double World Cup victories on Deborah. So I'm sure Deborah's saying now it's time to catch up on the gold medals.
That's not that easy. They also made like 2 Olympics in 2 years.
Exactly.
So it was a little bit
changing. A lot of people made a lot of medals in those 2 years.
No, but she was amazing. I mean, at the event, she was amazing. She was there and she was winning. I don't know.
And the reason why I brought her up is because I remember commentating on Deborah and you could see her touch, her feel on her giant slalom skis like nobody else. At that time, in those years of Albertville, Lillehammer, 92, 94, and on to Nagano, there were times when I would forget to commentate. You'd go, and there would be that pring and pause. My, what is she doing? She was a wonderful skier. And I haven't seen that style, that skill, that feeling and flow until you came along. And as a commentator, it was the same feeling, the same. She's doing what Compagnoni did. Oh, so that is why I'm so pleased we're chatting here today. And you mentioned earlier Mauro Sbardelletto.
Sbardelotto.
Sbardelotto. My apologies, Mauro. Mauro is a superstar in his own right. He's a serviceman. Richard Pramonton, Isolde Costner, Deborah Compagnoni, and now since you from 2013. They're often the unsung heroes, aren't they, the service guys of the World Cup Tour. How important is he to you? Does he really work the magic on the skis?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, he's an amazing person. I've been with him like now since a long time. When I started working with him, I was a bit afraid, you know. I didn't know how to behave with him, so I was really staying in my place and be there and just be calm and yeah, everything is good. But then we started really. He could listen to what I was saying about skis and he could understand that I was really feeling what was with the skis. And so we started really working together. Sometimes you can tell that Mauro is complaining, but he's never. He's always positive. He's really a positive person. And he was part for me for the speed. He believed in me for speed, for super G, for downhill, because I was not racing those disciplines until 2015, actually. So he really believed that I could do it. And he helped me a lot, like saying, no, you're skiing good. No, it's coming. And he was really there for me and giving me, not advices as a coach, because he's not a coach, but he was, really believing in myself as a speed skier. So I think the most part of this work of downhill of this year was really for him and the job he has made all these years and believing in something that was for me like impossible to make.
Yeah, I mean, let's put that story into perspective for our listeners because it is quite amazing. Your first downhill podium was in 2018. And so that's 7 years later, you finally win one. You win on the downhill tour as a giant slalom and superstar. And then just to make sure that that wasn't what they say in the pop business, a one-hit wonder, you won another one. 2 downhill victories. Was that down to your relationship with Mauro? Of course, your brother, the coach,
But did Mauro, as you pointed to just a few moments ago, one of the key attributions to making that first downhill victory and then the second one come along?
Oh, yes. I think it's we work really good as a team. And with my brother and Mauro, we share what's our, yeah, I don't know, what's the dream, what's the plan, what's everything. And we need to be on the same side, on the same way. We need to have the same ideas and we need to share a lot. And my brother also was really part of that because he really worked on the parts where I was losing a lot in downhill and in Super G. So when in 2018 you said first podium, but I was skiing good in downhill, just in really difficult ones, really technical ones. But this year I was able to ski good, like to defend myself and also in flat parts. And we were working a lot for easier parts, but that for me were difficult parts. So it was really important that everybody was there. It's not like Sbarde was doing just his job and I was and my brother. So we were, but Sbarde believed in this since many years ago. And yeah, so that was really important for me.
So your brother, Mauro, it's starting to feel and sound like the A-team. You win the downhill in St. Anton. You back it up in Garmisch. But was that third position in Cortina on the Olympic downhill track a better feeling? The celebration in the finish area was Federica-like. We've seen with full joy, full experience. This was something that clearly meant the world to you.
Thickoff Lee holds her breath. The Italians roar Brinoni. It will be incredibly close. Norway or Italy, and Norway stay on top. She hits herself on the head in frustration. Now she shakes it with disappointment. Brilliant performance from Federica.
Was that bigger than the two wins, that podium?
No, a win is always a win. No, but for sure I was really happy because in Cortina actually was one of the places where I was never on the podium before this year. So I had never podium in Cortina before 2025. So for me it was something that I really wanted. And doing it in downhill was crazy. Yeah, for sure. It was something really big. But the next day I won the Super G. So that was even better. Like it was an amazing weekend. But as I said, winning is always winning.
Yeah, one hell of
Everywhere.
A weekend. Oh, one hell of a weekend. And wrapping up the World Cup, I just want to point out that you had 10 wins last season. 3 globes. Goodness me, that was one hell of a season. So just give us a little bit of a description on what life is like on the World Cup. What are relationships like in general? And what kind of friends do you build in this environment? Because as a broadcaster, as a journalist, the Women's World Cup tour seems to get tougher. Sometimes the ratings are bigger on the TV than the men because it's like dog eat dog out there. It's cutthroat to win on the Women's World Cup tour. Give us a little bit of an insight, Freddie.
I don't know. It's I have a good relationship with a lot of girls, like almost everybody. I'm really getting along with my group, with my team. It's really nice. It has been really nice. I'm really happy and lucky to have a big group and a great group because you're all year around. When you don't have a nice group, it's heavier. Like it's heavy sometimes. It can be heavy. Mm. But I have to say that my group is really amazing. So we're having a lot of fun and this is a good part because I am still skiing for the group sometimes, you know, or yes, a lot of time, yeah, like I was doing as a kid. So yes, this is really good. You can create good relationships even with other nations. I mean, I have really good friends around the world. Some are already done with skiing, but I still have a lot of good relationship and this is amazing. Okay, I was lucky because I can speak languages, like many languages, and this was easier for me. At the end, you go around the world a lot of days during the year. So we are a big family, and it's really important to have good relationships around.
Yeah, you can clearly see it. You know, we're on the TV, inspection, podium, waiting for a presentation. You're always communicating. You seem happy on the road. And whilst many of the other athletes, some of those athletes not as successful as you, seem to be a little bit grumpy on the road. It's tough. It's a tough tour, but you always seem to make the most of that.
Yeah, it's something that I really wanted for my life. So I'm happy to be around. It's something that it's not heavy for me. It's to travel. I really like to go around. This has never been heavy. Yeah. So to make my bag and go and never be home even for weeks or month, this has never been really heavy for me. So it was really nice.
And do you ever say to your brother, Davide, I want to go out with the girls tonight. Go.
Yeah, this is normal. I mean, we are brothers, but we have our time. Sometimes he's going with his friends and I'm going with the girls, or we can go with the team. There is everything around. I mean, with my brother is really a good relationship. We are really friends. We work together, and when we work together, it's just for work. So we are not friends. I mean, we are, but we are there for the work, and then the rest of the time we're brothers. So we are having a lot of fun, and we were really going good along, like when we were kids also.
Yeah.
So it has always been a good relationship.
There's quite a few of us jealous that don't have those relationships with our brothers and sisters. I can hear you talking into your listening devices right now. Let's stick with friends. We've talked about your career. We've talked about your family and what shaped you as both a skier and a person. But what really makes you unique, Federica, is not only what you do on the slopes, but how much you pack so much into your life in every single day, surfing, cooking, climbing. You're always on the move. Where does all the energy come from?
I don't know. I'm lucky. I have a lot of energy. This is, I think, my best quality. My mom, she's pretty like that. So I think I pick this quality from her. She's always moving and doing something. She can't stay like she can, but she's always around and making something. So I think I took this from her, and I want to enjoy life. I want to move. I want to do everything that I like. It's something that I always tell myself that we live just once. So I want to have fun and do. I don't want to have regrets in my life. So I always try to make something that makes me happy. And yeah, I'm a ski racer, and that makes me really happy. But also there are a lot of other things that makes me happy. So
So that brings me on to the next question. If you were not a ski racer, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
I don't really know. I mean, it's impossible. I think I was not as good as I am a skier in other sports. So yeah, I don't know. But for sure, I'm somebody that I really work really hard when I have a dream and like a goal in my life. I really put myself like 100%. And then if I lose, it's okay. But I put my 100%.
That's nice words. What does the Aosta Valley mean to you today?
It's my home. As I said, I love to travel, but also I love to go home. It's an amazing place. There's nature, there's mountains, there's a lot of activities to do. There are my friends. I have my house. And I'm in my flat. And when I get into my home, and I feel really, good. And I can relax. I can do what I want. And it's a place where I recharge myself normally. During winter, you're always around. And when I go back in at the end of the season for the summer, it's really amazing.
And La Salle and the Aosta Valley, do the people respect the fact that you need a bit of me time, or is it selfies, autographs, parties, coffee? Do they understand that it's your home, the people who live in the Aosta Valley, and allow you to be yourself, find yourself?
Well, they're used to see me. So I go to the village party, I go to the bar, I go to drink something with friends, or I go for coffee. So they are used to see me. It's not like, okay, it has changed. So if somebody comes from outside, yes. But the people from there, they are my friends, so they are used to see me, so they don't ask for that.
Good. I like that. You've got a nice reputation for speaking up. You have a voice in winter sport with authenticity. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from and how does that feel in your heart?
For me, it's really important to stand for something. If I believe in something, I stand for that. It's like saying, well, I don't know, or not taking part. This I don't like. So if I have to say something, I really stand for that and I take my place or in one side or the other side. But I don't really like not to stand for something that is important for me. So to be myself, it's really important. And to, yes, to have values, to have this in your life is really something that I want for me.
That's where the passion for the tiger comes from, most likely as well. How do you picture your life after ski racing?
I have a lot of ideas and I'm not really, it's not something that I'm preoccupied. Like it's something that, yeah, when it will come. And it's not something that I'm afraid of, for sure. I have really a lot of ideas. I have a lot of things that I want to do that, like all those years were difficult to make. Because when you ski a lot, when you are around all winter, when you have to train, you have to go to events, to go for sponsors, and sometimes you can do a lot of other things. I mean, you have some days off, but it's not enough for what I would like to do. So I'm really looking forward also to make all these things that I like. But for now, I still want to ski. So I know my career, it's ending. Like, I don't know when, but it's something that when it's over, it's over. I can't go back for skiing. Mm. So I still want to enjoy. It's still something that I want for myself. So that's okay.
Let's take it a little bit more unplugged here. You came back from Sun Valley with three globes, went ski touring the next day, then maybe faced one of the hardest races of your career in Val di Fassa, Italian championships, tibia fibia, problems. I can see the scars here. Would you do anything different now you've been through the experience that you've been through?
Well, I can't. So it's this is something that, yeah, I could have not raced or just go, like, I don't know. But I was happy to be there at the Italian Championship. Like every year, I always go. I think it's really important for youngs. And I mean, the race is a race, it's always a race. And if I don't participate to the Italian Championship, who is going? Like, what's the meaning of the championship? And what are you teaching the youngs? That if you win some races, you don't participate at the Italian championship. And this is not good, I think. And I mean, when I was racing the Italian championship as a kid, and I could see Denise, Manuela, and all the girls, I was just watching them. And I was happy to race with them, even if they were not at their 100% or they were just there. And for me, it's important to make the same.
And your brother totally agrees with you. I mean, I loved Davide's words. Great champions carry responsibilities. Nationals matter, your brother said. And then one of those cheeky journalists that we were talking about earlier asked him, would he do it again with you? And he said, I would do it again 500 times.
Me too.
We need to inspire the next generation.
I think the same thing. I mean, the conditions were amazing. The slope was amazing and everything was perfect. For me, it was a perfect training day. So at the end of the season, you always train until the end of April. Because in the summer, I'm not skiing. I'm skiing then in September. So for me, nationals are good tests for myself. And for sure, the season has been like a really intense. So I don't know, I was just skiing as I was doing all the winter long. So I did nothing special, nothing. So I was preparing the same way and I went to sleep the night before. So I have no regrets, actually. For sure, I wanted to have not this this way, but it happened. So I have to accept. And if it was just a tibia fibula, it would have been like a way, way easier,
yes,
the way it is. But yeah, so the knee was destroyed. And so I need to really work really hard right now. But I was lucky that I was in Italy, that they sent me the helicopter and they brought me in helicopter in Milano again. So, and the federation, they sent the doctors to have surgery the night. And this was really important for my leg, because I think if I had no surgery that night, it was way more complicated, even just to walk. So at the end, it's still okay what happened.
So I can promise you there are tens of thousands of Federica Brignone fans screaming right now. I have to ask this next question. Is the Snow Tiger coming back? Does the Snow Tiger have a game plan? And you've already got a silver and a bronze from the Olympics. There's one missing in your set. Will we see the Snow Tiger go for gold in Cortina?
This I can't answer. I don't know. Actually, with an injury like this, it's not easy to come back. My dream is to come back for this winter, and I'm trying and making everything in my power to make it possible. So this is the only thing that I can say right now. But I think that to win a gold medal in our sport is already impossible if you are 100%. So it's not like something that you always do the same thing. So for our sport, this is impossible to make and impossible to say before. I hope to be on slope for this winter, but I will be on slope trying to ski fast again if I'm okay with my body. I mean, it's already so difficult to win races or even just to race. And if you're not 100%, it's not, I won't make it. This I'm sure.
And are you and your brother, Davide, your coach, talking about narrowing down the disciplines? Maybe just look, Super G, there's only one run. Giant slalom, two runs. A lot more possible issues can arise. Downhill, high speed. Is there a sort of a game plan to narrow the goal, or you just take each day as it comes?
I have already to see if I can ski or not.
Okay. I'm sorry for going too far ahead.
But it's okay. But I don't even know if I can ski.
Yeah.
So, and until I can ski, I can say for sure speed and downhill is going to be the easiest part, because it's going to be less intense than Super G, than GS. But I don't know when I will be on skis with that power, with that need of... I have to see if I have pain. So yeah. Right now, I still have pain to normal things. So I don't know. I don't know when I can put my skis on. So, but I'm really positive now since the 5 months. It has changed. I'm really working hard to come. I want to ski.
I'm starting to believe it just sitting here talking to you. I truly am. Let's lighten things up a little bit. Let's get into some rapid fire, fast answers, quick as you can. And let's just give our listeners a little bit more insight. Alpine Pulse Unplugged. Here we go. Really quick, really simple, really easy. Coffee or tea?
Both.
Coffee or tea? Both.
Both.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Love a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Wine or champagne?
Wine.
Oh, there we go. Could you describe your skiing in three words?
Smooth, sensible, and always on the edge.
Whoa. You see, three S's. I'd have gone smooth, sensible, sexy, I would have said as well. Last song that you played.
Today?
Yeah.
74, 75.
Ooh. Pizza or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Yeah. Hero snow or wild conditions?
Wild conditions.
Kind of got that one as well. Surfing or ski touring?
Surfing.
Yeah. Party hard or cozy night at home?
Party hard.
I think everybody was screaming party hard then. I could hear you.
No, it depends on days. But if it's a good party, I prefer to party.
Okay, moving on with the party theme. 90s or noughties for the theme of your party?
90s.
Yeah. If you could invite one celebrity, dead or alive, to dinner, who would it be?
Roger Federer.
Well, he's alive. He's a good dinner date. I definitely agree with that one. One travel essential you never forget?
Bathing suit.
In case there's a spa.
Yeah, or always.
Just for a swim?
No, I think it's the brushing teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finish the sentence, please. right before the start gate, I think
of the cancelletto, how at the start gate, how to touch it later possible.
Okay, here we go. Book or a movie on a rainy day?
Yeah, games.
Mountain or sea for holidays?
Sea.
Cooking at home or eating out?
Cooking at home.
Yeah, I love that answer. What's your guilty, naughty food?
Ice cream.
Yep.
Or chocolate, depends.
If you could live anywhere for just 1 year, where would it be?
Somewhere I can surf every day.
Okay, let's get training. Heavy lifting session or interval training?
Interval training.
Do you have a lucky charm?
No.
None at all?
No.
Wow, you see, that makes the people like you even more. I can see it. Sardinia or Valle d'Aosta?
Valle d'Aosta, but it's, I don't know.
Okay, 50-50.
I can't, it depends on the period.
Okay. You can call a friend if you want to call a friend and go 50-50.
Yeah, no, it depends on, like in August for sure, Aosta Valley, and September, Sardinia.
The view of the Mont Blanc, from Chamonix or Courmayeur?
Courmayeur.
Yeah, of course. That was an easy one. Federica, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to look back at your amazing journey and get a glimpse of the person behind the champion. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you don't want to miss future episodes of Alpine Plus Unplugged, make sure you subscribe to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and all the major platforms. You know them. Federica, we're going to follow this story and this journey very closely. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Alpine Pulse is an official podcast of the FIS, produced by Maniac Studios.